Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, October 23rd, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. In our Security Awareness Diaries series for October, today we got a diary about standard connectors and different risks associated with them. Yesterday in the podcast, I mentioned a new kind of attack against USB drives, which targets the drivers that are actually mounting the file system, in this particular case, NTFS. However, there are other connectors, in particular FireWire and the new Thunderbolt connector, that have their very own and special risks because they essentially allow unauthenticated access to the system bus. So having someone plug a device into one of these connectors really gives them access that even supersedes access on the console in many ways. So for example, for FireWire, there are proof of concept exploits that do patch the login routine in memory and essentially bypass the password check, or that allow users to download system memory without any authentication. Again, that can actually be helpful also in many cases for memory forensics. If you're trying to acquire a memory image without having to install any additional software on the system. But let's see what else we got. If you received spam lately with a .gov URL, this is not a new revenue-generating scheme by the government. Instead, it is likely the abuse of a URL shortening service that was set up for government purposes. The domain usa.gov was configured in order to allow government agencies to shorten URLs. However, apparently, it was possible to set up these shortened URLs without ever having to log in. So spammers found out about this, and you will see now spam coming with links to one.usa.gov and then various extensions that will immediately redirect to a spam page. The vulnerability here is really twofold. The first part is that it is possible for anybody to set up such a link. Now, the links are restricted to other .gov URLs. However, if one of those .gov URLs has an open redirect, then it can be used to redirect further to the spam site. So the way this usually works is that the one.usa.gov link links to another .gov, and from there it moves on to the actual spam page. And the spotlight is on again on Java. In last week's critical patch update, Oracle patched some flaws in Java, however, missed others. Now, one of the researchers who reported one of these flaws that hasn't been patched yet to Oracle got word back from Oracle that a patch will probably not be coming out until early in 2013, so about 6 months from today. In response, kind of as a challenge to Oracle, this particular researcher delivered a third-party patch that, according to this researcher, only took 30 minutes to develop. I haven't tested this patch yet, so I'm not sure whether I should recommend it being applied or not. However, this is a vulnerability that is publicly known, and it can lead to a full sandbox escape, just like many of the other Java surveys that we had to work around over the last years. But let me start with something a bit more hardware-centric. So for the end, I got another hardware topic, and that's wireless hacking. If you are interested in wireless hacking beyond 802.11, you kind of need a software-definable radio in order to emulate various protocols that may be used. And these software-definable radios have been reasonably expensive so far. There is a new open source and high-end open hardware project out there, HackRF. HackRF tries to develop a relatively cheap, homemade software-definable radio that will allow more serious amateurs to approach wireless hacking. So now you no longer need a specific hardware for Bluetooth, for Zigbee, and all these other protocols, but you can use one of those software-definable radios to essentially emulate whatever protocol you're trying to investigate. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.